All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of The Owner's Box. I'm Michelle Yu, and you can see no Billy Koch. But today I am very, very distinctly honored to be joined by Jeff Rubenstein. He is one of the members of the Atlantic Six. And if you watched racing at Belmont this weekend, you might have seen him. He was jumping up and down. He was very excited because his horse, Bookham Dano, stole the grade one Woody Stevens. So thanks for joining me today. I'm so excited to have you on.
Yeah, this is a much better setting than the ambush I had.
No, the ambush was great.
With the FS1 crew ambush in the paddock there. So this is a much better setting for me.
You're more comfortable at home.
A little more prepared.
You don't have to be prepared for this. It's all just about you. So we're going to take it from the beginning. So obviously you did not start your career in the winner's circle at Saratoga on Belmont Stakes Day. Bring us back to how you got into horse racing.
It's really my dad, my old man. He dropped out of law school. Not popular decision with the family, and decided horse racing and thoroughbreds was his thing. He walked hots, and then he was a groom, and then my grandfather got involved a little bit, and there was a little bit of money, and they had a really successful filly, Kuka's Lady, a turf sprinter.
Okay.
So growing up, there were winner's circles pictures in the house, and you know the family was into it, and then life happened. You know, I came around, things slowed down, and then the last I'd say 10 years, he kind of got back into it in retirement. A couple okay horses. He'd be like, Jeff, want to go to Parks on a Wednesday and for the third? I'm like, no, Dad, I don't want to go to Parks.
What do you mean? No. Yes.
Well, I'm just being honest. I turned him down. I was like, no, I love your passion in this, but you know, not for me. But another passion he did have was traveling. So if you put the horse racing with the traveling, that was awesome for me because I was in
Parks wasn't far enough for you.
The turnpike. No, down the turnpike wasn't cutting it. But he took me to Maidan, and I saw California Chrome, you know, win there. And I saw Zenyatta beat the boys in the Breeders' Cup Classic, that classic race. He'd be like, Jeff, you want to go to the grade three Bing Crosby next month? And I'm like, sure, well, let's do that. So I was always on that side of the paddock, not inside, looking in and kind of wondering, how are these people doing this? Like, how does this horse get to this level and all that? So being now, like, on that side of it, inside the paddock, and with all these horses of that level, it's been awesome.
Okay, so how did you make the jump from outside the paddock to inside? Did Dad tell you, I'll buy you a horse if you like come on a trip?
No, so he's also had this, he moved to Panama recently. Well, he wasn't there on Saturday. I mean, the second Bookham hit the wire, my first thought was, oh no. After I screamed my face off, it was just, oh no, but my dad, like, he's in Panama right now. He's probably no service. But before he left, he left me a share of Bookham, which is just the greatest thing he's ever done for me. And the most exciting thing, minus kids and wife. But it's been great. It's awesome. I haven't seen my cousin in a while. And he was up at Saratoga, and we're enjoying this together. You know, my uncle, he came up. He went to Saudi with me. You met him. So it's just bringing us together, people I haven't seen in a while, people I haven't talked to in a while. Like, my friends are calling me, like, when's he racing next? Where's Bookham? They want to go to the barn at Monmouth. I'm only like 10, 15 minutes from Monmouth Park, so they want to go see him. It's awesome what he's doing for just really locally here as a Jerseybred.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So your dad gave you the share of him. How did your dad get into him, and who named Bookham Dano? It's
my
Hawaii 5-0, right? I just have to make sure.
Yeah, Hawaii 5-0, okay. Namesake. Yeah. I didn't know he was a fan of that show. I gotta be honest. I should probably do more research on
it. You guys didn't watch it like every Friday night growing up?
No, I know. You'd think that's exactly where it came from, just a family ritual, sitting around watching Hawaii 5-0, but no, not the case. Him and Jay's like the GM of the partnership, I'd say. Okay. He's kind of like the hub. He sends the emails, he finds the articles, look at this bullet work. And Jay's on the ball. And him and my dad go way back, I think high school, into the 80s. Yeah, so I think they rekindled old flame with Counterfeit Currency was their first purchase, I believe.
And I'm glad they didn't make their first purchase with Counterfeit Currency. That show would have completely gone off the rails.
Yeah, which also, that's another good name. And then I think Two is a Crowd and Bookham were purchased together.
Okay.
Both of them are in Derek's barn right now. But yeah, and then Jay, the partnership expanded. There's a couple other guys local.
So they started it as the Atlantic Six, right? Or
yes.
Atlantic Six.
Yes.
So
exactly.
Your dad like bought into this group with Atlantic Six. And is Atlantic Six named after like the six people in the group, or is
yes,
it
it's fr-
the yeah, partnership or
exactly. It's my dad, Mark Rubenstein, Jim Rubenstein, his brother, my uncle, Scappy, Frank Kamasa, Reznikoff, and Jay.
I love it.
And now it's Atlantic, okay. I guess it's Atlantic 6.5 racing.
So before your dad left for Panama, he was like, now, Jeff, I want you to keep traveling and watching horses. So here's a little
That's exactly what he wanted to do. So it's
did you think he would take you the places he's taken you to?
No, like, or just on the flight to Saudi. It's like, what's happening right now? And like, I mean, I just got to give credit. Like, I just want to just touch on like Derek too. Derek is just hitting all the right buttons. Every call Derek has made. For him to send Bookham over there, to start his sophomore campaign all the way out there. I mean, there's the purses are huge, and he made a great call. And, you know, IRAD just got nipped there at the end, but it was a great trip, and we were so proud of him. And then coming back here off the long layoff, again, Derek picks a race and he trains for it. And, you know, Bookham just sends it. It's great.
Do you ever go to the barn and see Bookham? What's his personality like?
This morning, he's like Bucaro. So McMahon has Bucaro, like 10 minutes outside of Saratoga. So I woke up Saturday morning, just popped some Advil, had some coffee, and I drove with another partners, Jeffrey Reznikoff, over to McMahon. I met Bucaro, and you know he was chill. And then it reminded me of Bookham. This morning, I dropped by the barn, gave Derek his hat, and he made fun of my FS1 interview.
Wait. Did you cut the top off the hat? Because I don't think he wears hats. He only wears visors.
Yeah, he wore the hat on today. But okay. I did make some comments about his crazy hair, and I don't know if he appreciated that. But yeah, no, you could tell he's proud. He threw the hat right on. So
I love the fact, by the way, that he got on Bookham Dano all week there at Saratoga.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, he brought that up this morning. Yeah, I think twice he said.
He was like, just so you guys know, I ride this horse too.
Derek fits the vibe of the ownership group. We're just happy to be here. Like in the lobby on Saturday morning, Andy Serling's breaking down Bookham as we're drinking coffee in the lobby. It's just strange. Just seeing this how it goes. But it was good. A quick story after the race. After we won, we ended up this like Scappy brought us to this like pretty cool Italian restaurant. It was off the beaten path.
Ooh, what was it called?
I forget. I got to get the name of it. I should have had it knowing I was going to bring it up. But we walk in and one of the guys goes, oh, we're in our suits. And this, I think it's a cigarette dispenser in the corner. It's like one of those bars.
Was it the house? Was it the old house that you went to?
Yeah. Was there a red awning in front?
It's a house and you go into the house and eat and they don't get to order. They just put food on your table.
Yeah. They're flipping burgers in the back and stuff.
Oh,
so we all ended up in there. And one of the guys grabs me. He goes, are you guys the Bookham Dano partnership? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, you guys must really not know anybody if this is where you ended up after a win. And I thought that was perfect for what kind of group like all those guys are, like Jay and Scappy and, you know, my dad and my uncle. Like they're enjoying it so much. And if they're acting like we haven't been here before, it's because I don't think any of these guys have been here before.
What did your dad say? Did you get to talk to him? Did he actually get to see the race in Panama?
Yeah, well, it was blacked out. What was up with that? It was blacked out on FS1 because America's Day at the Races on YouTube. I still can't get it. It just shows the FS1 black. Anyway, he's like, he calls me. He's like, it's blacked out. You got to FaceTime me live. And I'm like, what? He's like, you got to FaceTime me live.
Did you FaceTime for the whole race?
There was 50,000 people there. I had no service, no shot. So I just bailed on the idea. And then when he called, finally got through, I'm like, oh, he's going to give it to me. Like, he's going to rip me. And he was just so happy. He couldn't believe it. I was like, Dad, he won. So.
Oh, that is so exciting. And did your dad get to go to Saudi? Because obviously you went to Saudi. Did your whole crew get to go?
Yeah, Mark and I went. Yeah, it was so Scappy, Jay, Mark, my dad, myself, and Uncle Jim. So I wasn't a minority partner at the time. So four of the partners were there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you have self-professed that you don't really know much about racing.
No, I jumped on board. Like, I told you, Dad, I'm not going to parks with you in February for the 7th. Like, I'm just not. Like, ooh, now you have a sick, you have a top 3-year-old in the country. Where are we going?
Yeah.
Like,
so tell me about the learning curve. What's it been like?
I'm just peppering him with questions. And he answers them. Jay, I go to Jay with a lot. He's so knowledgeable. And Derek, I grab Derek a lot. What's this about? You know, The change of lead, stuff like that, you know, how the buyer figures put together and stuff. So yeah, it's self-admittedly, I have a long way to go, but at the same time, I can't get off my phone researching this stuff. Like, I can't.
I love it.
Yeah.
I know you're married. Do you bring the wife to the races? Does she have any interest yet?
She's gaining interest.
Okay.
She's gaining interest. Yeah. I know Derek had mentioned the Alan Jerkins as a potential natural progression next target. And that's something I already rented a 5-bedroom house on downtown Saratoga for that. So yeah, she will be there.
So Alan Jerkins, King's Bishop, right?
But yeah. I'm not sure. July. I have no idea. I just
three-year-old,
know Derek.
3-year-old.
I know Derek handles all that. I defer all those questions to Derek, but I know you in public with the Alan Jerkins, so I'm comfortable mentioning that.
I love it. Okay. Yeah. So now you're like getting into it. Do you feel like this is the only horse you kind of want right now and you're just going to ride this ride, or is it addictive and you're like, this horse is so good, I feel like I should get a couple more because
it's a drug that they definitely want you to take.
Yeah.
But at the same time, my dad's been in it long enough where he knows this is once in a lifetime, you know, this kind of ride. Five wins, 7 starts, beat by a nose by maybe the best Japanese colt ever. And then the head, we lost the Nashua when we lost by a head. Whereas Chris had a great trip, and Bookham found himself on the lead, you know, quicker than we wanted him to be. But yeah, no, I don't think I'm gonna be. I'm just gonna enjoy Bookham as this goes. Because
okay, I think it's funny you call him Bookham because I call him Dano. Not that I've ever met him, like personal friends, but it's so funny that you opt to call him Bookham instead of Dano. Is that
his partner? Yeah, he's so cool. He's got multiple nicknames. You can do whatever you want with that.
You're like, he answers to anything. It's no problem.
Yeah.
Does he enjoy being around people? Like when you say you like, oh, you brought the partners and everyone gets to come see him. Like,
Skylar, my daughter, you know, Carrots. Last week it was great. Conrad's still a little wimp around him, but Skylar's, Derek was like, you want to get on him to Skylar? It was, yes. He's very chill. He's relaxed. He nips at your pockets. He's looking for cookies all the time. He's a great horse.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're not predicting any rides, but if you had like a dream race that you could hit up with this colt, do you have one in mind that you would love to be in one day?
That's
knowing tough. Knowing if Derek watches this is not any pressure. This is just like
Derek's not taking any of my my 2 cents to any. I've been to Maydan a couple times. That's a scene. It's just incredible. I've done three World Cups over there. And all three. I ended my honeymoon there.
Oh, that's awesome. They've got that nice sprint.
Yeah. Is that one turn? Yeah, one turn, right? One
no turn. Straight.
Straight. Straight, right. That's straight. Turf, right?
Yeah, they have the Golden Shaheen too. So they had the Outlaw Sprint with the straight, and then they got the Golden Shaheen.
I saw the plans to try on
the grass though. I mean, I feel like Buchero runs on everything.
Yeah, he has the turf. There's turf pedigree, but again, I'm not going near it. But I know Buchero has turf pedigree, and I Bookham definitely has turf pedigree. But yeah, to answer your question, it would be Maydan. The city's cool. That track's incredible. Mm-hmm. And which is when the horse racing world descends on Dubai that weekend. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's really exciting. Yeah. Since the race, have you gone back and watched the race?
I watch it I can't stop. The Woody Stevens, I just can't. I still think Prince of Monaco came on good, but I read it was just an elite trip by IRAD.
I was really thankful to you guys afterwards. Also, like, thank you for letting me ride him. Was there a conversation of him maybe not riding?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure. But I saw Irad thank mm-hmm. Derek. I thought that was nice. And
genuine thank you too. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's like winning like 4 grade ones a day, and he was like eye contact, like a sincere thank you.
Yeah, I think he did win 4. I think he did win 4 that day or over the weekend. He won 5
the day before.
Yeah. Well, the ankle was like, whoa, what's going on? What happened? Yeah. And then I think he won his next race Friday morning. He won the first race. Like, all right,
yes,
Irad's back.
So you're like, I'm not even worried at all.
Yeah.
Okay. So now that when Dano's plans are mapped, I know you had a house in Saratoga. Is this going to be anytime Dano goes somewhere, we're on the road?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Saratoga's nice. I can drive 3 hours. There's no 17-hour flight to Riyadh through Frankfurt. but yeah, where Dano goes, I don't see a racetrack where I wouldn't make it happen. It's just
I love it.
whatever happens in the race is just a bonus. I mean, right. The experience, we're all just looking around being like, guys, every second, take this in. Like, you know, Tom Brady is up there, you know, at Saratoga right now. And our horse, just ran a huge Woody Stevens. So it's all just, we're having such a good time.
What do you do since you're kind of new to racing and coming out? What do you do in the interim? You know, if you're in race 9, what do you do the first 9 races? Like, what's your ML for the day?
I get there early. Like, that's my thing for the day. I'm there for the races. Mm-hmm. But I'll grab a program and watch. I'm really into it now. You know, Idiomatic. The card was so good on Saturday. Every race was just, and now that Bookham's in those races, it's obviously going to be a big day at whatever track that it's at. So it's easy to just, like, pay attention and focus and try and learn as much as possible and bother the other partners with my questions.
There are no bad questions and there's no bothersome questions. Anyone in racing embraces questions. That's what we want to hear.
When I met you in the Saudi airport, I was listening to you and I was like, she knows a lot. And then we started talking and I was like, I don't want to be in this conversation anymore. Like, she knows, like, I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to talk to her anymore. I'm way in over my head right now.
He was so good. That was such a great race for him. I have to ask then, do you have a piece of advice for people that are just getting in the game? Look at my husband's crawling to get my son.
It's all blurry behind me.
He was trying to not be on
camera. Oh, there's something going on. Kids? So, nice.
There we go. Is there a piece of advice that you would give to someone that is trying to get into racing or thinking about getting into racing that maybe didn't know beforehand that you wish you did, or something that you've learned that you think is the most important thing you've learned?
Yeah, it seems like it could be discouraging at times. Billionaires, millionaires, and you see the same 6 or 7 or 8 trainers just owning every race, and you know, and in an industry dominated by a few, every once in a while you have a croup and a horse breaks through that. And I think people are really rallying around that. I think it's such a great thing. We were in our Bookham Dano hats in Saratoga and people are stopping us. And is that the Jersey bread? Like, that, you know, just in Saudi, it can happen. It can happen. And I encourage people to get involved. And I have a lot of people that did not care about thoroughbred racing that care a lot now, a lot. Texting me daily, you know, how's he doing? Where is he? Send a picture. So it's good.
Can
he's
I join
story.
That text chain? I want to join the text chain. I need a daily picture of Bookham Dano.
I'll put you in it. It's a 16 person family text. It's a lot. It's called Bookham Dano. So yeah, I could throw you in there.
I love it. Yeah. Jeff Rubenstein, thank you so much for joining us here on the Owner's Box. We really appreciate it. We've loved to watch Dano. We made some money on him and we hope to continue that throughout the year. And maybe we'll see you next year in the desert.
Maybe. That'd be awesome.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Come on. And welcome back here to the Owner's Box. Before we jump into hearing from my partner in crime, Billy Koch, just want to remind you guys that over the course of the Belmont at Saratoga weekend, we did have some incredible New York races with over $900,000 in purses. Part of the New York bred growth includes $181 million for purse totals each year. Membership incentives include the monthly New York Breeders Magazine, free entrance to any NYRA facility, and discounts throughout the NTR Advantage. So make sure if you are around, join the NYTB. And congratulations to New York Breeders for getting Buchero, the sire of Bookham Dano. Also want to remind you, if you guys are in the market,
Harlan.
Yes, Harlan.
Yeah.
He's been texting me today, by the way. Also, if you guys are in the market for a thoroughbred, the OBS sales are going on right now. June sale is a great place to be. They've got some serious sire power going on. So if you're in it for last minute, log on. You can
buy in it for last minute.
Right? In it the last minute?
Yeah.
I like it.
You just coined
it. I did just coin that. It's mine now.
Hey, great interview, by the way.
Thanks.
I'm sorry I couldn't join.
I know. I think he was so apprehensive because the two interviews that I did with him this weekend in New York, he was like a little shell-shocked and didn't know what to say. And he's obviously not like a racing guy, but this was just about him. So I think it was fun. And this is the people that we need in racing. And Absolutely. He's taken so many of his friends along with this ride now. That's Great. Been such a short ride that I love it. So thank you to Jeff. And we're going to have more of the Bookham Dano partners on throughout the summer.
Okay. Is this your new digs behind you?
Oh, yeah. So this is my new office/guest room. I have to put on sheets, obviously, sitting right there.
No, it looks nice. How's your new place?
The new place is good. It's far, farther than I'd like to be away from the racetrack. It's like 8 miles, and it's, I know that sounds like nothing, but it's such a pain to go 8 miles when you're used to like a mile and a half.
Yeah.
But the house is really nice, and there's like a community pool that my kids love. We've been at the pool every day.
Great. And that's why you also could listen to podcasts on your drive. Like the
I could, except my kids generally control the radio. So we listen to a lot of Taylor Swift and Disney.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay. Those are the two things. All right. So can we do our three things of note to wrap up our show here?
Absolutely.
Okay. So three things of note. Three things. All right. So obviously it was the Belmont at Saratoga this weekend. It was a jam-packed, wild, crazy, memorable 4 days of racing. I would say the Belmont itself at the day was probably one of like the top five racing days I've been to.
It really?
It was awesome. It was awesome.
What made it so special other than the fact that it was Belmont Day and it was packed? I heard there were bathroom lines. You know me and Saratoga.
Yeah. So, I mean, there definitely at some point were 85 men in line for the bathrooms at Saratoga. Like, obviously, I didn't have to go through that. But, like, for me being on track and the atmosphere and just, like, the people in the paddock and the horse flesh you got to see and the races that we saw, I just thought overall it was really exciting. And because Saratoga is already such a big racetrack in, you know, its own right, it wasn't like we were there and I kept looking around, but like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're here. It was like, oh my gosh, like we're at Saratoga and all this racing is going on. It doesn't feel like out of place. It was awesome. And the city really embraced having everybody come just like they do for the entire race meet. So I just thought it was a very, very fun event. The amount of people that made the trek to Belatoga, because it's not easy to get to. I was like mind blown. I was like, look, all these people that converged here for this weekend of racing. It was awesome.
Yeah. What was your favorite part? One
favorite. Hook 'em Dano winning.
Yeah, that was nice. That was nice. Hook 'em
Dano winning because he was like,
talk a little bit about the Belmont and kind of what went on or is that overdone?
I mean, I was a little.
Look, one of the things that was great for racing is that Jason Wirth won the race with Dornock. And
we've been trying to get on the show for weeks.
Yeah, and he was such a great ambassador. I mean, saying horse racing is the greatest sport. I compared it to winning the World Series. I think he compared it favorably to winning the World Series. And those are the kind of people we need in our game. So congratulations to Jason and his whole crew and Danny Gargan and Dornock, who, you know, listen, going about 6 months ago, Dornock was one of the ones, right, Michelle? And then he ran one bad race in the Derby, and everyone forgets about him. Look, the thing with Mind Frame was very simple. He just was inexperienced, whether he hit him left-handed. And who was it? Who's on him? Irad?
I couldn't even tell you who rode him.
I didn't even remember now. It's been long. My memory's so shot. But anyway, I think it was Irad. Hit him once left-handed, hit him twice left-handed. The second one, he went, and could have been the crowd. We don't know.
There's a chance that he was the best horse in the race too. He lost so much ground.
No doubt.
He was just so green.
And he did the whole Mavericks re-engaging shirt and he came right back. It looked like he was going to win again. And then Sierra Leone, listen, this horse is going to be an enigma. Probably was the best horse we saw.
How about the Tyler Graff Leone move at the top of the stretch?
That was to me insanity because the fact that Tyler was on that horse and basically took a right turn right into that horse is he had to know it was him. I mean,
it was like he wanted to. He wanted to be like, hey, buddy, come bump me and like cause a DQ.
Yeah, it was very strange. And if we had Tyler on a lie detector, I would be very interested to find out what was going on there. But to be honest with you, watching the race live at the 3A spot, I thought Sierra Leone was going to run last.
Yeah, same. Just, oh my gosh. Around the turn and Flavian's all in. I was that horse ain't.
And then all of a sudden he comes up on the outside and makes that big run. Of course, he lugs in. The bit didn't matter. The horse just needs to mature, grow up, And he probably, hopefully they'll keep him in training and he'll be an awesome four-year-old.
He needs to run at like, this will sound terrible, at like Los Al where we have that really long stretch. I feel like he doesn't run a lick till he turns for home. And if he had a nice long stretch to run at.
Very odd horse, but listen, a very odd and talented horse. So there you go. That's the Belmont Stakes recap. Anything else, Michelle, that stuck out on like the Met
Torpedo
Mile?
Torpedo Anna
was incredible again.
Pretty impressive. I mean, I thought we could try and do her today, but
yeah. Do you think Kenny McPeak will run against the boys at some point?
He said that he was thinking about it, but at this point, he's going to stay against fillies because he thinks she can run the table against fillies. And then if she does that and then wins the Breeders' Cup Distaff, in his mind, he has a horse of the year candidate. But I think we saw Idiomatic last year, you know, ran the table on those fillies. Yeah. And she was a candidate, but she didn't win it. I really think if you're a filly and you want to win, you need to step up in a big way. She's going to have to face boys to win horse of the year.
I know we don't talk about turf sprinters a lot, but I thought Cogburn.
Oh my gosh, Cogburn.
Incredibly impressive. And I think
that's like the fastest 5.5 furlongs ever, yeah. I think. Right?
He
went 5.5 furlongs as fast as our good horses work 5 furlongs.
Yeah, he was wild. He was wildly fast. And then the Met Mile, National Treasure, of course, Dubai. It's tough to get horses back. Congratulations to Starlight and that whole crew, Matticat and SF and the Avengers.
And then the fallout from that, certainly, that White of Barrio being returned to Safi Joseph from Detro. I didn't love White of Barrio's warm-up. I've been saying, I think I've been very vocal about it. I don't love White of Barrio around one turn, and that was Saudi. And then this, I count it as one turn because they have like a shoot and you kind of like go straight and then turn. I think he's most effective at 2. And I see that Safi already wants to wheel him back in the John Nared, which is 7. And I'm like, no, I don't want that.
Yeah, I don't know. Something's not right, but hopefully Safi will figure it out. And what else? What else we got?
What else did we have? We had those races over there.
Closing weekend at Santa Anita coming up.
Well, yeah, that's coming up. That's to like close out. I don't know if that's like a 3 things of note.
We
what
said
happened at Santa Anita when I was gone this weekend? Anything exciting?
No.
I was gone all weekend.
That 3-year-old for Baffert was pretty awesome. Parenting. Yeah, he was pretty awesome.
But the field was meh that he beat in quality, right? Because they all finished together and he was just amongst the best. So what do we see from him next? Travers, you think, for him?
Maybe Haskell. Yeah.
Okay.
You have to ask Bob. Bob doesn't like to give away his races.
Going into the weekend here at Santa Anita, which is closing weekend, we do have a carryover for today, which is Thursday, coming in. We have racing today, Thursday, which is not normal.
Are you posting this today? Because otherwise the people won't know.
I know, right? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday still racing. And Sunday is Father's Day. So we're going to have, you know, all kinds of good stuff. If you come out and want to play along, we're going to have like the Father's Day in the chandelier room and the Father's Day stuff in the front runner. There's going to be what else goes on? I have to think. Hold on. I have to look now. Okay, Father's Day apron barbecue, the trackside dining Father's Day buffet, the front runner Father's Day buffet, the drams for dads in the chandelier room, that's what it's called. And there's going to be the family fun zone on the infield, so when the dads are tired of the kids, they can just pop them into the infield.
That works for me.
We're gonna have so much fun for this closing weekend.
Oh, Ryan, I said happy Father's Day.
Oh, I will. Happy Father's Day to you too. Are you going to see your boys?
Yeah, we'll all be together. It'll be a great.
Are they all coming to the races?
My dad. We don't have anything running on Sunday. We have one today, Thursday, one tomorrow, Friday, and 3 on Saturday.
I scream, you scream
today. Big race for her today.
Yes.
Good work.
I like her off of the bench. She's been working really good. I mean, to be fair, she was a debut winner. I like her, so you know that's always a positive.
That's good. You'll like her.
Okay, I leave for Royal Ascot this week, so we'll have to figure out what we can do for if we do anything for next week. If not, you might just break until Del Mar.
Sounds like a plan, Stan.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Great job, Michelle.